welcome to the 97th episode of We Talk Comics on the Air and in Your Ear. I am Mo, and we got somebody crashing the party here. So I'm going to go to this person first. We got Scott Kowalczyk, of course, the artist behind Mysterious Strangers from Oni Press, as well as the Intrepid's miniseries. And apparently Firefox version 25 is available. So I thought I'd let you guys know that, because I just got that notice in breaking news. Very important. Scott, for those of people out there, how are you doing, number one? We haven't had you on the show for about 18 months, so we talked to you more recently. But
it's been a while. I think I'm still on Firefox 1, so it's been quite a duration.
Yeah.
Is there a Firefox 1? Was it called something else? I have no idea.
I think it was just called Firefox.
No. We were talking before the show started about Adrian Barbeau and Swamp Thing, and I'm still just looking that up. So you're just going to completely pass me
by.
That's
great. We've lost Scott for the duration.
Scott. Mysterious Strangers number 5 is out now, right? You're up to number 5? Your fifth issue has come out?
I think so. I know Adrian Barbeau is not in it, so I'm assuming...
Maybe if you did.
Number 5 is out.
I have a digital edition of it, yes.
Yeah, what? So I'm getting it too, I have to admit. So I have the first couple issues in print too as well. So how's it going?
It's good. Yeah, Roberson's been a heck of a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah. And go ahead.
You go ahead.
No. And just for those people who are not familiar with the book or your art style, how would you describe the book and your art style for people?
Mysterious Strangers is a, our interpretation of what a 1960s television, show of the spy genre, would look like in comic book form. So it's kind of our version of what the, BBC Avengers would look like, but as a comic book.
All right. Your art style, how would you describe that?
Nostalgic.
Nostalgic?
And I'm not going to say any more, just one word, nostalgic.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so Cub reporter Kay Keith is not here, so we won't be doing the news. He will be joining us later in the show. We're going to go to Brett. How would you describe your podcasting style?
Acerbic.
Sir?
That's a made-up word. I don't want to cut everybody off, but that's a made-up word.
Acerbic is a made-up word?
It's a real word.
No, it's not.
No? Then what's the real word?
I'm just teasing. Obviously, it's a real word if I don't understand it.
Well, if you look it up on the dictionary, you'll say that's perfect for Brett.
No, and I'm still looking up Adrian Barbeau. I don't care about it.
Oh, yes. You need that copy. I don't understand. We got a copy. We found it online because we all reviewed it a while ago. You should be able to. But anyway, Chris, how would you describe your beer drinking style?
My beer drink. Well, since we're going with made up words, I'm going with synergy.
Mm.
I was thinking plentiful.
Plentiful. How would you describe your podcasting style?
Yeah.
Please. Tell
I have
me,
one.
Please tell me it's nonsensical.
Nonsensical word. And anybody who's listened to the show will describe my style as irritating. So
I was hoping you guys would just kind of like call out like random food names. Like, how do you describe your interview style? Onion ring.
Turnip.
Grilled cheese.
Screw you, Scott. Now I want some grilled cheese and onion rings. And not like I didn't have grilled cheese with bacon for lunch. Oh, yeah.
Well, let's be honest.
That's why I keep this svelte figure right here. So,
so we were talking about Swamp Thing before we started. And I'm bringing it back up. Have you guys heard the album by Creature Feature from the band Swamp Thing?
This doesn't exist.
It's incredible. It's a rap album. I believe they're a Canadian group from somewhere out east. And it's a concept album. And every song on the album is about a different horror movie, one of them being Swamp Thing with the lovely Adrian Barbeau.
Would you call that a horror film?
I guess so.
I don't know.
I guess 1980s, it kind of was a bit
Wes
of a...
Wes Craven directed, so I guess that's good enough. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it firmly, with the sequel, it firmly took more of a comedic turn, but...
I didn't know there was a sequel.
There's a sequel and a TV series.
That's right. I have both of those.
Adrienne Barbeau not in any of them, showing her tatas either.
Yep.
Not worth seeing.
Yeah, but you have Heather Locklear in the second one.
She is the second
not showing her tatas.
Can I take a moment and object to the use of the word tatas? I'm just moving forward. Let's be a little less
fun bags.
Let's be a little less gross, fellas.
Fun bags. Does that work? Fun well, bags.
I don't know. Are you talking about testicles? I have no idea.
All right, Scott, you're already way more entertaining than Keith, so you can stay.
You're permanent. He's done. You're gone. Next week will be the weekly news with Cub Reporter S.
Yeah. I won't talk about anything relevant.
Perfect.
Neither does Keith.
Well, that is his high standard of journalism.
We're lucky to get comic books into a podcast sometimes.
Awesome.
Well, all right. I'm going to get to some housekeeping before the show starts here, because we had, if you'll notice, the last show did not go up on our website. It was only available through Podomatic. We've had major issues with our website, and because of that, you'll notice the new show going up now. The latest show, the last show from a couple weeks ago, will go up, and then we're going to have this one up shortly after. What were you going to say, Scott?
Can we clarify and just let everybody know that Brett spilled melted cheese on his computer, and that's the actual technical trouble? Why he had a large bowl of just melted cheese I don't understand.
Cheese.
Well, that's pretty obvious, man. He was reading GRU. You don't read GRU without a large bowl of melted cheese.
But like,
I thought
like,
that was just a rule.
Yeah.
But why eat it with a ladle? That's the weird. That's even stranger to me.
I prefer doing.
Well, I generally always have a bowl of melted cheese everywhere I go, and
but with a ladle,
drink it with a straw.
It's a big straw, but a straw.
It's a big straw. Has to be. It's a big bowl. Anyways,
it's a piece of PVC pipe. That's not even a straw at that point.
As long as your mouth fits around it and you can get the cheese, then that's all that we're asking.
All right.
Okay, I want that epitaph. As long as you can get your mouth around it.
Hijacking the show.
That's the name of the show.
And Scott Hall. And Kowalczyk, I thought Tata's was too far.
That is the show title.
Or Scott thought.
Kowalczyk hijacks the show. All right, so anyways, you'll notice if you go over to We Talk Wrestling, you'll notice the work we've been doing revamping that site, because it also had the same problem. That's what the new look is going to be for the We Talk podcast, We Talk Comics site going forward. So just if you get a preview. So everybody, you'll notice this now. It's lightning fast. We think we fixed the problems. We'll probably be mitigating everything off Podomatic onto our own site in the near future here. And for that reason, you'll probably have, hopefully if this all works out, if you're subscribing through iTunes, you will need to switch to the new iTunes feed. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Number two thing that's housekeeping. Anything you want to add to that, Brett?
No. Migrating.
Oh, no, Scott, you cannot.
Well, it's relevant. So you guys do We Talk Wrestling. Have you ever talked about the pilot TV show Tag Team?
Was that the Jesse Ventura?
What's the porn?
Rowdy Piper.
Roddy Piper. I've seen it. It is awesome in its own strange way. I didn't think it was available anywhere.
It's not. I found it on YouTube. Next, We Talk Wrestling. That's what you guys have to talk about.
Actually, we'll be right on that, and I'm not.
I know what I'm watching tomorrow night.
It's amazing.
Forget about tomorrow night. It's what I'm watching right after this.
I'll send you guys the link. It's way too good.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That way,
we're pretty proud of the new website design and everything like that. We think everybody's going to like it. It's going to be way more modern and cool looking and user friendly and everything like that. It's going to be great for everybody. The other thing is we're going to be doing the Secret Santa story exchange again this year coming up. This last year, you'll remember, it was the four hosts of this, us four, and we also had Matt Centauri Griffith of Griffin?
Griffin.
Griffith?
Griffith?
Griffin?
Griffith?
Griffith. That's what I said. And we're going to have him back again this year. Matt's coming back in, and Chris Duker. We're going to open it up to even more people this year. I don't know, Scott, you want to participate? I'll explain the concept. We're going to open it up, though, if you do want to get a hold of us and participate, you can. How it works is we are going to be using Aaron Long, the editor-in-chief of Comicosity there, to have everybody – you're going to be assigned somebody you're going to be picking a story for that they've never read before that you'd like them to read. And they won't know who has given them the story till the end of the podcast. You're still looking for Adrian Barbeau. I can tell you're not paying.
I sent Brett tag team. It's important that you guys are prepared for your next show. I know there's some sort of talk happening about story swapping.
Yeah, story swapping. Basically, you're going to get people to read something. You're going to get people the story, Secret Santa story exchange. So you'll be gifting the story that somebody has never read before, hopefully, that they will enjoy. And then they'll talk about the story on the podcast. And at the very end of the podcast, it'll be revealed to them who it was that gave them the story. And, of course, part of the fun will be trying to guess who gave it to them. So
can I suggest that everybody reads Chester 5000? It's a webcomic by Jess Fink.
Well, this actually everybody should read.
It's incredible. It's an erotic comic that I think would be kind of hilarious if everybody in the Secret Santa were to read it. It was a wonderful, wonderful piece of eroticism, which is also what I say about Brett every time I see him.
Thanks.
And thanks for listening, folks. That's been another episode of We Talk Comics.
I'm blasting us way over time.
Anyways, so there we go. We are doing that. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at comics@wetalkpodcast.com or just get a hold of any of us on Twitter. It's Brett_WeTalk with 2 T's or Chris_WeTalk, Mo_WeTalk. Doesn't matter who you're getting a hold of. But if you're a listener, you want to participate, be on the podcast and read a story and share a story you think somebody will enjoy, please come on and let us know and we'll see if we can work it out. That invite is for anybody working for Comic Con, anybody in the industry, in general, we want to open it up and have some fun. Scott, please hijack the show.
Well, there was something that you said in there that I'd really like to touch on. I think you mistakenly called Twitter Quitter.
Quitter, yes. He did say
which
Quitter.
I don't know how that hasn't been something that somebody has jumped on, because that's a moneymaker. I don't know how it would look, but just Quitter. Who did you quit today? I did a lot of quitting.
I lose a lot of followers, so
yeah, so many.
So Scott, you're in for the Secret Santa, right?
I guess so. Sure, as long as we're all reading Chester 5000, I'm good.
And right, if so anyone Scott's needs convincing on Chester 5000, boobies, page one.
Page.
Was there really? I don't remember. Oh yeah, I guess there is.
That's a good thing, yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful read. I bought it for my wife, and she absolutely adored it. So ladies, who I know are probably make up the majority of your audience.
Oh, yeah.
Almost undoubtedly. Of our million strong, most are ladies.
Not women, ladies. Like very, well-to-do women.
Yeah, we're big in the 80 to 100 demographic, yes.
The ones who, don't know how computers work. What did I find? Okay, that looks like I'm going to push the triangle.
We talk. Yes. That's great. I like to listen.
Scott, what would you like to talk about next? Because obviously that's just what we're going to be doing.
Well,
next subject?
Now that we're talking about old ladies, we should talk about Ryan Ferrier's Golden Girls comic.
Totally. That's...
Oh yeah, that's where I was going next. That was the logical step.
Team Gold Team. Oh God, I don't even know how to say it. Team Gold Force 4. Read it; it's amazing.
Awesome.
Oh, Ryan's awesome. So
yeah, I adore Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just plugging everybody else's books while we're on.
Hey, as long as you're plugging good books, we don't care.
Who's doing the motorboat in the background? That's not cool, man. That's so.
I've lost control. Are you drunk?
At it.
Like Duker came on one time and he was drunk, and that's why we lost control. But
really, no. This is I'm having a single beer.
A single beer. Yes, yeah. But you're a slight man. That may do it.
You're a wisp of a fellow. Yes.
That's what I'm going for. A second one.
Okay, sorry. Back to Mo. Come on, Mo. Get us back on track.
So anyways, I think that's it. So thanks to Comic Gossity for sponsoring the Secret Santa Story Exchange. They're a great website, of course, to get all your comic. I don't know. Scott, do you like Comicosity? You like to plug them?
I do like.
What would you like to say about them?
I like the fact that they offer comics.
Okay.
Come on. You guys are the pros. I'm making it up as I go.
Obviously. Keith is into. I never be so happy to see him before.
I'm the Jesse Ventura to your guys' Gorilla Monsoon. So let's keep going.
Come on, Mo. Somebody pull out your Bobby Heenan.
You're more like the Bobby Heenan. Yeah. Somebody invite Keith in.
All right.
Keith, this is a train wreck you've missed so far.
It's the most glorious train wreck you've ever seen.
I join these misadventures.
Shot out of a cannon here.
I join these misadventures already in progress.
You do, but we haven't gotten to anything because we've tried. We've been trying for several minutes, but every time we do, Scott will just bring up,
awesomeness.
That's true.
He just keeps mentioning awesome stuff that I have to buy.
Yeah, he keeps on talking about things like Adrian Barbeau's flesh bags and things like that. And is that a classier term? You like that one?
I like bosoms, and that's something I'll put on a t-shirt.
Perfect.
I always like the extra plural breastuses.
Breastuses is good.
I've never heard that before, so you're just making it up to sound clever, which I'm not into.
How about
No, there is a precedent. I believe Kevin Smith popularized the term.
Well, see, now I don't want
to. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying.
Thanks for ruining that. I had no idea there was a way to ruin boobs for me.
Kevin Smith is the way. So many reasons why.
So anyways, we views. Keith, did you read anything?
I did, actually. I think I read everything.
Okay, well, pick a book and talk about it.
Oh, is that where we're at?
Yeah, Keith, you're ruining this.
Well, we're doing this out of order because we didn't know when you were going to show up, so we're saving the topic. Okay, because otherwise it would throw the topic off.
Wouldn't want to put the flow of the show.
Oh, you have no idea. Wait till you hear the first 25 minutes. You're going to be amazed. All right.
Well, let's just start.
Remember when Duker was drunk?
I read all but one book. It was one book, right. I just couldn't bring myself to read.
All right. Well, go ahead and start talking about a book. This is. We're gonna do Wii Views because Keith, we're
here. I come to save the day.
Saving you from bad comics.
Did you say?
But not always. Sometimes he was.
We're shaving you from bad comics.
Sometimes we're recommending excellent comics to you. Anyways,
I really like that a cat meowed as soon as you guys said that.
Yeah.
We need to keep that in because that's really good.
My cat is furious at me. I've started self-defense classes. I've got a four-week self-defense course, so I'll have 5 hours of self-defense, which I believe qualifies me to be Robin.
That's good. I mean, I for one have always worried about you, Keith, being raped. So
I was going to ask how that rape whistle has been working out for you.
The way this is going, I think Scott's going to need a self-defense course for the next time I see him.
I swallowed the whistle. That was a bad. That didn't help him.
I think your cat swallowed the whistle.
Remember, if a rapist is after you, stop.
Are we ever going to talk comics?
Stop, drop, and roll. That's where you stepped on his line there. That was a good one.
Stop, drop, and roll is a good line. I like that.
Let's start this week with Local Boy Makes Good. Riley Rosmo's and Alex Link's Drumheller. Who here has been to Drumheller?
Me.
It's like the one show where we have like 100% participation in actually being to Drumheller. No other podcast will be able to advertise that.
Yes. We should do a live remote.
when the trade comes out.
Keith, maybe. Start walking.
I'll hitch. Well, Riley is some of the more some of the more clean work we've seen from Riley. He's kind of really focusing on the characters in this book for the art, and I really don't know what this book's about yet. It's cool, it's creepy, it's wild. I'm interested to keep going, but yeah, I have trouble explaining what happened in the book. Anyone that can give me can throw in a good synopsis.
I pretty much have the exact same review. It's interesting to see a different style from Riley and see him. You know, he's so good. I mean, he's so damn good. But I really just didn't know what the characters were. I didn't really get what was going on, unfortunately. So I'm not sure what that says about the book. Brent, Scott, Chris, anybody? What do you think?
I'll go. A lot of weird shit happening, seemingly just for the purpose to have weird shit happening, which in my book is a positive. I love that kind of thing. characters. I actually thought the characters. He was really, really, really. We started to get to know these characters, and I kind of like that. However, if by issue two I don't get some world building and some story development, I'm going to drop this book like a hot rock. But I have my fingers crossed. I like the strangeness of this comic book, and I kind of, if there's a good story arc here, I think it could be phenomenal. But the first issue, I'm not sure that's going to happen. It just may be random events happening for no good reason. This is the type of book that sort of scares me. That I don't know whether to call it.
Chris, keep your
show.
We got a lot of people and a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, Brett. I'm done now.
It definitely reads like a Riley Rossmo comic. there's not much more to say about it in that regard.
Brett Monroe, master of the backhanded comic.
You know, but I am a huge fan of his art. As I look at the Golden Age Sandman that he did for me, unlike other people on the podcast who haven't done any Golden Age Sandmans for me.
It's true, Mo.
Brett, I'm working on it, Brett.
Yeah.
Well, Mo's trying at least, you know.
I think you actually asked me about that, and I completely forgot.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I'll make a note of it on this piece of paper.
Charge him extra, Scott.
I think that I had asked it for the show that you were curating that you didn't actually attend.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was stuck on a beach in Kelowna. Fuck.
And you've done nothing but tear yourself apart.
What did you think of this book? Let's just from one Calgary.
Why doesn't Kelowna have a comic book?
Kelowna doesn't even have a comic book store.
It's never going to talk comics.
I noticed that Kelowna didn't have a comic book store. It made me think, does Kelowna need a comic book store, and can I be that guy?
Kamloops has one, which is fairly close.
And it's actually like the Kamloops is the only one between Calgary and like almost to Vancouver.
Really?
And I don't know whether it means that people in the mountains don't like comic books or, you know.
Well, it's kind of a sad place for me. I mean, aside from the beach and, like, you know, ladies in bikinis. Actually, Kelowna's got something going.
Let's start a comic book selling commune, Scott.
But they have to be organic.
Organic comic.
Scott, do you have anything to say about the book? Or what we said about it? Do you have any response to?
I've always, I listen to review, podcasts, and that often, and the review process is kind of strange for me as, somebody who makes comic books because, reviewers are generally reading books from an entertainment perspective. You know, I'm reading this book to be entertained. Am I entertained? Yes. No. And that's sort of the dichotomy. Whereas as somebody who makes comic books and goes like, Jesus, this is a hard job. And yes, it's fun and everything, but there's like a shit ton of work involved in making a comic. I look at, these books that you guys were kind enough to send me, and go and, you know, look at Riley's work and go like, wow, like so much work involved in, you know, not only drawing, you know, coming up with the characters, coming up with the plot, and then just, you know, instilling so much life into this book with such beautiful color. So I can't review it as somebody who's looking at it as entertainment, because I'm looking at it as like a beautiful piece of artwork.
Yeah. So just tell us where we're wrong.
How about this, Scott? If Riley was a student of yours, would you flunk him for this book?
Well, see, that, you know, that's the thing. Like, you look at anything produced and, you know, there's a lot that, you know, comes out that I'm not as a fan particularly fond of. But, you know, even in the books that you guys sent me today, like there were, you know, there were some that weren't really my speed, but I can, you know, I can still look at the work as the work and go like, wow, you know, that's actually, you know, it may not be my taste, but it's still very lovely.
Well, there's a lot of diversity, I think, in this week's book. So let's get on to another one. Brett, why don't you talk about one of the other books?
All right. Then I'll talk about Protectors, Inc., another one of Joe's comics. So
What is the Joe imprint? Is it Image?
Yep.
Okay.
It's, Joe Straczynski. And so he's writing and creating all of these books. It was published through Wildstorm the first time.
Mm.
So he just restarted the line last year.
The second volume?
I can't remember. It didn't last very long. I don't remember what books were under it.
Yeah,
I believe Midnight Rising Nation. Stars and
Midnight Nation.
Midnight Nation were the only two books published through Joe's Comics.
Because he's also bringing stuff that he did for Marvel's Icon line into this as well. I see. But it's funny because my favorite part of the book is actually the last page where he's just writing out a little few paragraphs on what's coming up next. I actually found that to be the most entertaining part of the book. as far as the Protectors, Inc. part, I don't have that much interest in that storyline. It's not that it's poorly written or anything like that, but it just seems like something that there's so much of nowadays. It's almost like I could read Before Watchmen and catch the same storyline that's going on. But I think my biggest problem was with the art, and it's weird because the art actually felt two-dimensional. Like, I know it is two-dimensional, but in this case, as I was looking at it, the characters seem to be very just two-dimensional. Like, as it's almost like they looked flat to me, and I don't normally get that in many comics. So that was a little bit odd for me. So for me, I'd probably take a pass on this.
Chris,
Scott,
you're always going to go last.
I have to agree with most of what you said. Joe's done this before, and he's done it better. Look up Rising Stars. Just about any Joe comic or Joe Straczynski's comic books, he's done this before. Why do we need it again? It's not bad. It's just not particularly remarkable. And I have trouble saying this because I love Joe, but I'm not even going to pick up a second issue of this one.
Keith.
It's a book that deserved a throwback art style, but it's a throwback art style to like the late 90s when Marvel and DC didn't have any great talents. It looks like someone who's working on their first couple, like, you know, really early in their career. There's just not a lot of independence to the style. It kind of looks like, you know, 10 other artists looked when they started. Story-wise, I was interested in the lead character, in the original kind of fighting American type character, but less so as they introduce new characters. So I can't see continuing with this one. And it's too bad because I don't quite get where this book fits when you've got something like, you know, the one he's doing, Ben Temple Smith, which is such a high-end book, and then this is kind of a wonky one. I don't quite know what they were going for here. Whatever they're going for, it didn't work for me.
You know, and I definitely am reading this and thinking to myself, boy, if it does have that Rising Stars feel, and Rising Stars is terrific. And at first I'm going, oh, I've read this before. It feels too familiar. But by the end I'm going, but it's really well done. And I think that if I stay with this for the long term, I'm going to be highly rewarded. I can't wait to read the whole thing. I definitely enjoyed it myself. So I'm not a fan of Joe's work when he's working with other properties. I've never been disappointed when he's doing something of his own. When he's working for Marvel, doing Spider-Man or Fantastic Four, or Doctor Strange, doesn't work for me at all. None of that. But when he's doing his own, I've never been disappointed. Scott, what do you think?
Well, you know, again, from the like the non
different perspective. Yes,
different
I know.
Perspective. I'm always impressed with Straczynski's how verbose his books are. Like what I kind of noticed with this was it was in my hands for a long time. You know, and beginning to end, it was just like, it was a long read and, you know, that's not easy to do, you know, books tend to become, you know, quicker and shorter. And this was, you know, this was a long, you know, very, dense read. I was thinking back to Eric Stevenson's, Nowhere Man. Is that the name of the book?
I think you Nowhere Man. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, Like that was a book that was in my hands for a long time. So like, you know, as a professional, it's like, you know, that's awesome. If you can keep your reading audience with that book in their hands as long as possible, that's a bit of a win.
So, absolutely.
You talking about that, this book reminds me of Thunder Agents, actually. That old style of lots of words and, bizarre characters. Interesting. I might have to look at this again with new eyes.
I think I'm a little more forgiving also as soon as you said it is volume. It's not volume two, I guess. Like it felt to me like it's a volume two, but I wasn't sure if it is or isn't. But anyways, Brett, do another book.
All right. Well, why don't we hit our one shot for the day, the 68 Hallowed Ground one shot, another in the ongoing epic of 68. And, you know, overall, I've actually never been disappointed by a 68 book. I like the art style. I mean, it's not Nat Jones doing interiors now, but I find the stories really interesting. And I think the number one thing that stands out to me for all of them is just how well researched everything is within it. And this is one of the first cases where I've really seen the zombies kind of take more of a center stage part to it. But I mean, for a one shot, this is a good book, and I like 68. So I will actually like. There's a new miniseries coming out, and I'll definitely be there.
Keith,
I'd say my review is pretty similar. It's not the best of the 68 stuff. But it is very self-contained. It's got a cool cover. And it's just a bit of zombie silliness. There's nothing new, like terribly new here. But as far as just a one-off, kill some zombies kind of book, it was fun.
Chris?
You know what? I didn't like this book, but not for the quality of the book. I spent the entire time just missing Nat. 68 so far for me has just been getting an issue and just marveling at the gorgeousness of Nat Jones' work. And this, it has nice art, but it's comic book art. I want Nat in 68. It didn't work for me, but
you know what, Nat's another guy from this part of the world, Chris. He's a really, really talented guy. I know exactly what you're saying. Like you know when you're reading it, you're getting an artist who's, you know, and he's a cool dude too.
Oh,
nice
yeah.
guy. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. But other than that, you guys summed it up. I mean, it's zombies, a little more action than usual. If you want a zombie story, here's one of the better ones. Scott, what do you think?
Did you guys read at the end of the book, the memoriam for Joshua Medors?
Good. Yeah, that was very moving, I felt.
Yeah, I, you know, it, it, it was, I don't know who wrote, you know, who wrote the memoriam. He was the artist who worked on the, I think it was the, he did the cover in the first six pages of the issue. I'm not familiar with his work, but it was just, it was a very touching, piece of, you know, just written material, about, you know, Josh's life as an artist. And
very well presented in the pictures and the way they put it together. And
yeah, it everything. Was, it, yeah, very well it was, done. It was a really kind of, you know, sometimes with comic books, we, you know, there's a, you know, there's a lot of negativity surrounding, you know, the material, you know, fans get, you know, angry about it. And we kind of sometimes tend to forget that there's, you know, real people, you know, making these books. And I just, I, that they're, the memoriam really kind of drove that home for me, you know, like this, you know, this fellow, you know, Josh, who, you know, passed away of cancer, was, it was just, it was kind of a moment of like, boy, you know, even in those days when, you know, he was sick, he still, you know, was taking the time, you know, to draw, you know, the cover in these first six pages. It was, you know, it was just, of everything of the book, I thought it was, you know, that was just extremely lovely and really cast a nice light on the series.
Yeah. I remember, I know what you mean. Unless it's Rob Liefeld, cause I refuse to see him as a human being.
Rob gets him. I think a lot of people get, are really hard on Rob, but like, he's kind of,
are you great. Shitting me? Brett and I are like working on a, Brett and I are working on a project right now. A massive project that we're doing on the side for the site and everything, and it because of it I had to read Deathmate Red. I have never experienced the seven levels of hell,
but
quite like reading that and his art and his. It's come on, Scott. I mean, you gotta have, you're an artist. You gotta have some standards. You can't sit there and have a guy on one panel have something around his mouth and some headpiece, and the next panel have nothing. The panel after that have two headpieces on there, and his shirt's open in this panel, and he's got two things on his leg. What are those little packets things there with? And then none on the next page, and then like 14 on the page after for no reason. You can't be that inconsistent. Like, this is awful. Anyways,
you just described issue 6 of The Mysterious Strangers, so. Thanks, Mo. That sucks. That sucks.
Yeah, but when you do it, it's art.
No, I'm very fond of Rob Liefeld. You know, when he first came along, he started creating something new, and that was kind of in a time when there wasn't a lot of, you know, new material being created. So he kind of, you know, he and the Image guys have, you know, kind of
this
have a little
further conversation. This might be a conversation we have to have at the summit, because I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a reason why when I say, guys, pause the podcast, I have to go take a Liefeld. There's a reason I do that.
I am with Scott on this one, actually. I think it's easy in hindsight to be hard on Liefeld. I was a big Liefeld fan when he started, when he was doing New Mutants and then into X-Force. Because it was the same as McFarlane. Like, I don't like McFarlane's art now, but when I was a teenager, and it was so different. It was, you know, we had seen 10 years of Perez, Byrne, and everyone had to look like that. And then these guys came along, and Spider-Man had no skeletal structure anymore. And you, like, panel to panel, people would have headsets appear and disappear. But it was like, it was exciting and different.
All right. Anyways, we're moving on from 68 Hallowed Ground.
Mo does not speak for everyone on the panel. I think that's what Keith is saying.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Legend of Red Sonja. Keith has not recently read Deathmate Red. Legend of Red Sonja, Brett, please go ahead.
Okay, well, then we'll speak of something that's the complete opposite of exciting and new. Legends of Red Sonja has Red Sonja, and it's the same as every other damn Red Sonja book that I've ever read, just perhaps with the worse writing. No. There's nothing that can make me like Red Sonja. I'm pretty much sure, pretty damn sure that this book isn't it, and I'm shocked that it's an ongoing series. That's the best I have to say for it.
What about her Mounds of Fun? They're pretty impressive.
Yeah, but you can't see them in the art. It's not translated.
Okay,
I hated this book.
I love that she's wearing.
This made me miss the 90s where I could file it in plastic and store it far away from me.
I love that she's wearing chainmail that form fits around the bottom of her her bosoms. That's actually the only thing about all of the druid kind of looking guys remind me of Nightmask from New Universe because they got the half moon on their forehead.
But wasn't she wearing like chainmail and 1970s hot pants? Like
yes, she
was. That was a little odd.
I think that's an accurate way to describe her costume.
Yeah. I like the book.
No.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I didn't think. Here's one thing. I mean, it's a what do they call these books again? With the multiple people doing them, losing the word.
Anthology.
Anthology. Thank you. It's an anthology book. The last story didn't work for me so well. I think I kind of just started to drone out. But I thought, as far as how presenting an anthology book and the way they're telling the different stories and going through her legend was done very cleverly and very well done. And I enjoyed it. And I liked the first couple stories quite a bit. And it didn't have all the cutesiness that was in the of trying to be extra clever that was in the present in the. The Red Sonja series that we read from Gail Simone there a couple months ago. So, I actually enjoyed the book. You know, not great, but pretty good. Scott.
When's the Frank Thorne Red Sonja artist edition coming out?
Okay, so Brett, we're going to talk about...
I'm dead serious. Like
I don't know.
We were reading Red Sonja, and it kind of got me thinking. Like I remember seeing the Frank Thorne edition.
Scott, do you have ADD, ADHD, ADDDHDDDDD?
I do. I can't believe how insensitive you are, Mo. Do you want to call me handicapped now? Seriously, like that's bad. Anyway, I am looking forward to the Frank Thorne artist edition. I was really fond of the, what's her name? Carla Speed McNeil, who I think did the last chapter. She did some like just absolutely beautiful renditions of a very heroic Red Sonja. Like there's, instances of her, what page is this? 21? Where she's holding her sword up against the octopus tentacled monster. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful rendition.
Well, I may have to go look at that page.
And
again.
She draws hair beautifully. Like if you actually get into the detail of some of, like on the last page, I don't know who the gal who's crying, but she has this beautiful black hair and those curls, man. I'm jealous of how nicely drawn that is.
All right.
So, do we have an ETA on the Frank Thorne Red Sonja?
Oh, I'm looking it up right now. I'm having a little trouble finding it.
Got my best people on it.
That'd have been a nice time for a clunk. Like, just, we've got the best people on it.
knock stuff over sounds good on a podcast.
It is my experience, Scott, that looking stuff up on the internet is the best part.
And
it's the most interesting stuff on a podcast.
Christmas Eve. So you can spend your Christmas reading some Red Sonja.
Oh, you can get it. You can get it and read it during the summit. Alex and Ada from Jonathan Luna and Sarah Vaughn from Image. Brett, another book. What did you think of that one?
I guess I kind of thought that this seemed like a prequel to either Magnus Robot Fighter or Surrogates, perhaps.
Magnus Robot Fighter. Now I will never read this without thinking that it's a prequel to Magnus Robot Fighter. It'd be a completely different book for me.
Like I say, we're doing a project. We're reading all the Valiant. Oh yeah, I'm totally thinking as I'm reading it too. You can't help it. And Surrogates, because we read that for the Venditti interview as well.
I'm 100% positive you can help it.
No, there's no, trust me, there's no way. Also, like I say, because we read Surrogates for the Venditti interview, there's no, like, Brett's everything. I just, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I mean, from that point, it loses all of my interest. Like, really, the only thing that keeps me engaged is the hope that Magnus Robot Fighter will come in and actually, like, knock the heads off of all of them. You know, it's a very slow, languidly paced story that gets into characters that I really don't give a rat's ass about, and then it just meanders its way to its dopey conclusion, and so you have a comic book filled with nothing. So, anyways, I won't be reading it again, but perhaps Mo will, because he likes boring and slow character-driven pieces.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's you do have a segment in this where it's like four pages of the man talking to his grandmother, and that's really challenging to present and make that hold the interest of the reader. I was interested in this because I like what Jonathan Luna, I like his style. And I'm, this art is suited to what he's trying to do. Well, suited to what he's trying to do here. And I mean, I'm looking at it and I am thinking it's a little slow paced, but I think it's a very brave presentation of a different type of pacing and storyline style to tell this. I mean, this is not easy to do. Does he 100% succeed? Maybe not, Brett, for you, but I think, I mean, I appreciated what he tried to do here. The story's not really original enough. At this point, it doesn't really have any originality to it. I mean, forget about the Magnus. Just you've seen this coming, you saw it coming. But the way he's doing this, I think it's quite interesting, actually. Keith,
I've complained about a couple of books recently from Image where it did a like two or three pages from the end twist and just became yet another cookie cutter book from Image that just feel like, you know, if you read it without seeing the cover, you would just know that Image published the book. And I, the whole time reading this book, I was afraid that was going to happen again. And then it didn't. This book started off telling a sci-fi, dystopic, I'm using ourselves to death story. And then it just holds it instead of, and then he gets superpowers on the last page and then they're all full of magic. It's about the characters. It's about the world they're living in, and it's about connecting at a human level. This was Book of the Week to me.
Chris, yeah,
Mo, you know how much I hate giving you a compliment. I despise it.
I know, everybody does.
But that you gave the perfect review of this book. I have to agree with you 100%.
You know that was me talking just before you, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know who said what, but yeah, Mo summed it up for me. An interesting book. I like a lot of stuff in it. I'm definitely in for issue two.
Mr. Kowalczuk.
Well, I kind of like what you guys said because, you know, with the exception of Brett, who's just wrong on his face, but like, you know, Jonathan Luna is... tells, you know, very slow stories, and I don't mean slow in, you know, in a negative sense at all. Sorry, my wife just walked in.
Mm-hmm. No, can she hear me?
Yes, she can.
She can?
Hi.
Yeah. You could do better.
I know, I get those comments posted on my Facebook page like every day.
Yeah.
Mostly from her mom.
Well, and from me.
Yeah, and from Mo.
Right. You were saying, Scott.
I was saying, sorry, my wife's lovely. I'm just watching her walk away.
So am I.
Come on! No. No, Jonathan Luna tells, you know, stories that are very character focused. And, you know, that's, you know, I go into a Jonathan Luna book expecting that. And, you know, so there's sort of an expectation of, you know, what you're getting with this. And, you know, Jonathan Luna does that. And, you know, that's why, Brett, no offense, but I think that your critique was terrible. Because, like,
no offense, Brad. No,
you're not going in to a Jonathan Luna book going, I'm probably going to get Magnus. Like, I'm probably going to get Magnus somewhere in the book. What I really like about Jonathan Luna is how he reuses elements from just a storytelling perspective. It really grounds what you're reading as something recognizable. Like, his characters are consistent from beginning to end of no matter what book he draws. And artistically, I don't know how he stays on model the way that he does throughout the issue. And one artistic thing that I really like about it is how light everything is. Like, everything is kind of, you know, light shades of beige, and you have like the most depressed character.
I have to ask you though, and this has been a criticism I've heard of him before. His environments are extremely sparse, and I take that to be that's because he's trying to put the focus on the characters, and therefore, but I mean, he's, let's face it, this guy is the anti Jack Kirby.
Well, Jack Kirby's backgrounds were really sparse. Like, you know, the thing that I've always really liked about Jonathan Luna is, like, you know, say the main character in this book, his apartment or house, it looks the same from page 1 to page 22. Like, you as the reader are never.
Whereas Rob Liefeld can't look the same panel to panel with the character. But you're saying, I hear you. I know, I agree with you on
that. Like, right, that's everything you're saying. That's the consistency of, you know, people like Jonathan Luna that I think really add something special to comic books.
All right, Brett, let's talk about Amazing. What is it? Amazing X-Men?
Amazing X-Men. Yep. Oh.
Brett, you better be right on this one. I'm like, I am.
Don't make him come through the computer screen at you.
I'll get my wife back.
Okay.
Please. Please.
She can't derail the podcast anymore. I mean, it's already gone, right?
All right. Brett?
Well, Amazing X-Men. I like the art. It's not terribly sparse, but it's kind of cute. Especially the Bamfs. They're rather cute, but I feel like the art is nicely rendered. As the characters are a little too funny for my taste, and I guess I haven't really read enough X-Men of late to necessarily know what's going on in some of the characters' existences.
Are they for you funny like Sam Kinison funny?
No, they're funny.
Look, you're going to use a comedian and you chose Sam Kinison in 2013?
What? Yeah. Why isn't anyone doing the Sam Kinison scream?
Wait a minute, this
isn't a Sam Kinison podcast that I'm recording right now? Fuck.
We talk Kinison.
All right, Brett?
I guess overall for me, this it just fell a little short. It's not that I think it's a bad comic book. It's just not necessarily a comic book that I'm extraordinarily into. I think that the talent is there, and for a fan of the X-Men right now, it probably works. It doesn't necessarily work for me, so I don't think I'm going to be reading it.
Wow, you are so wrong, man.
Chris?
Yeah. I am reading Wolverine and the X-Men, which is the one that this is taking off from. And I mean, you do have those elements, but this is totally throwing back to the original 1985 Nightcrawler limited series with the humor and the Bamfs and all that. This is an homage to Dave Cockburn. It's a fun book, and you're not supposed to take it seriously. And I think that's what Marvel needs. I truly enjoyed this book. My one criticism would be there's way too many characters for the first issue. I could have had this just be about Nightcrawler, personally.
Can I object to the use of the term Cockburn in that review? I don't know. Like, we go
sorry, from... Cockrum.
we go from it not being a Sam Kinison podcast, which I'm still really disappointed about, to just dirty language nonstop. I don't know, guys. Seriously. Get it together.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, dickhead. Brett? No, wait, Keith.
Please don't make me review it again.
No, Keith, what were you going to say?
That's Scott Walsh, ladies and gentlemen, Canadian treasure.
That's awesome. That's going to be my new slogan, Scott Walsh, Canadian treasure.
You want to say anything about the book, Keith?
It's a title we only give to Canadians, and for some reason, Scott Snyder.
I'm trying to claim him as ours.
In a break from tradition, I got to agree with Chris's review. My big turnoff for this book is way too many freaking characters. Wolverine and Storm do not have to be on every team that doesn't have Cyclops on it. They are not the Wonder Twins. I'm so tired of seeing them. I don't know where Storm became the go-to female X-Men that she has to be on every team. I dig they're bringing Nightcrawler back. When I started getting back into X-Men, I was sad to find out that he was, you know, at that point currently dead. And it's fun that they're bringing in Firestar. I'd like about half as many characters.
I did like Firestar.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be interested in this book if they are going to trim back the number of characters. Maybe this is only this many characters for the opening arc. It's a 5-issue arc. It's an X-Men book, so I mean the first arc will be done early Friday morning. they ship twice a day now, I think, for most of their books. So I don't know. I think probably I'll try this first arc. I've got pretty turned off the X-Books after Battle of the Atom, which was just ridiculously bad.
And Joker told me that he was so mad at Marvel after that, he was cursing. And yeah, he's like, another crossover where nothing happens in the end. I'm like, yeah, and you read that last one, and you read this one, and you'll read the next one and do the same complaint.
I called Battle of the Atom a 10-issue game of Red Rover. Really, the only thing that accomplishes is like four characters change alliances. That's it. Like nothing else happens in the entire run.
Well, over to Amazing X-Men. Scott said that he's looking at these from the craftsmanship as a professional to another professional. And he mentioned how reviewers and podcasters tend to look at it from an entertainment standpoint. And he's completely right, because this book entertained the hell out of me. And that's why I loved it so much. I've always been a big fan of McGinnis's art. And this book, for me, I don't mind the characters. It's not a character-driven book, so I don't mind that there's a bunch of them, because their dialogue is different enough that I can understand the personality of how they're going to present the characters. It's fast-paced. It's extremely funny. It's exciting. It's fresh. It's young. It's hip. It's awesome. I love the book. My favorite book of the week. Scott. By the way, best book I've read from Marvel that we've read for the podcast since the Superior Spider-Man #1, I believe. Scott.
I was unable to download it. So
you'll love it. The Secret Santa story exchange. I'm suggesting
what I'd like to talk about instead is the erotic novels of Frank Thorne, which I didn't know existed. And now, having seen it for the first time, I think that's what this show should be called.
I think.
Does he draw any Adrian Barbeau?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the covers and in complete awe of how beautiful they are.
I think as soon as this podcast wraps up, you and your lovely wife need to go and have relations, because you're obviously worked up, Scott.
It's just a bit of a tangent right now. Adrian Barbeau leads into all sorts of fun stuff.
All right, we're going to rank the Batman villains, because it's 4,775 of them. So
we're going to have to do it quickly.
I know, because this has gone. I'm almost like, just like, how long has the show gone, Brett?
One thing we could do is we could just get Scott to talk, because that seems to work out so far.
Yeah.
I can start. I can rank all 471 of them or whatever you said.
All right. Who's your favorite?
See, it's tough because I
oh my God.
You can't do the 471 starting from number one. I've never not a single countdown. They call it a countdown for that reason.
So like okay.
Scott, no, Scott, I can't. We're gonna do this proper. We'll get there. Trust me, whatever you're gonna say, we'll get there.
Okay.
I'm just gonna ask you guys, Court of Owls, is that an A, B, or C level villain?
I'd say a B would push an A if they give it another steady run, but they've dropped down what it's about right now because it's kind of playing more into Talon than it is in the Batman book.
What about you guys? Do you think it has a chance to make near the top?
I think it's a B, but it could push to an A.
Well, that's pretty high. What do you think, Scott?
I actually haven't read anything with Court of Owls. I do, however, having said that, love the marketing campaign that DC did with the masks.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
What do you think? Is it how high up do you think a Court of Owls would be? A, B, C? Where do you?
Well, it didn't keep my interest, so I'd put a D.
Okay, so overall, we're going to give a
Brett's
B.
Brett's wearing the owl mask.
Okay, Red Hood. Brett, where do you think Red Hood? How would you rank that character? Is he
B?
B. What do you guys think?
You know what? I'm going with C just because the Red Hood has never hit for me.
Okay.
He's just never worked. There's a good storyline when he returns, and after that,
well, we could put fails. Red Hood up as one thing, and you can also have Jason Todd up as a separate character who's a villain in many ways. Don't you think, Keith?
Yeah, I guess. Tell me which Red Hood you mean.
I think Red Hood, almost like the legacy of Red Hood, is almost kind of where I would go.
Well, certainly, I mean, they're trying to build that out because the Red Hood gang is the focus of Zero Year. So, I mean, they're putting a lot of weight toward that. I'm going to go with C, but I mean, certainly Zero Year could be a complete.
So, how about Jason Todd as a villain?
D.
D. Okay, so we'll eliminate him. He's not going to make the top list. If one guy's giving him a D. Catwoman. Where would Catwoman be?
Wait, don't I get to talk about Red Hood? What the hell?
Oh. We got a lot of characters to go through, Scott.
Holy shit, like I'm the guest.
Scott, what did you think of Red Hood?
I have, somebody bought me the Red Hood Joker action figure that was released, I don't know, a decade ago. And it was the Joker's head on Alfred's body, which was hilarious because, like, he was the Red Hood still, but he had the serving hand, so the Red Hood could, like, serve stuff. So, I don't know, that alone, I think it's a 10 out of 10. Are we going on numbers? An A out of 10.
yes. We're going on numbers. That's what we're doing.
I changed my rating. Scott convinced me. That's it.
Okay, Catwoman.
A.
Scott. A?
Julie Newmar. Julie Newmar's Catwoman was like one of the best things ever.
Catwoman's an A.
Granted. I think I like Lee Merriweather's Catwoman just a little bit more.
So Catwoman's going to make the
top. Not Earth.
I like the impact that the Halle Berry Catwoman costume had on cosplay.
Did you ever see the movie that director did in France? Bido?
VidCon? I thought it was called VidCon.
Whatever.
How you pronounce it? Yeah, it was with Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, it was a beautiful film. So everybody's amazing. So hard on Catwoman, but that Vido is one of the best action movies I've ever seen.
Oh, the effects and the photography in that is... And the guy was a cinematographer for, you know, director of photography beforehand, and he did, like, Aliens... Revelation, or what was it? Aliens Revolution and stuff like that. I mean,
something like that. We should link to it so everybody knows how great it was because it was a great film.
Vidoc or however you pronounce it is. Yeah, I was a big fan of that film too.
It's so
actually, all you really have to do is look at the DVD cover of that movie to know how talented man he is. I was excited about the Catwoman, and then
that piece of shit happened.
Then I saw it in the theater, and I hate myself.
You know, So many people are hard on the Catwoman movie, and it deserves to have people be really, really hard on it.
But it did a good thing for cosplay. Brett, what do we think about Mr. Freeze?
I like Mr. Freeze. I'm going to give him a solid B+.
Chris?
I hate him. I'm going with this C. Once again, he had a good movie. He was good in the animated series. I could do without him. Of course, I'm in favor of the return to the red and yellow costume.
See, I like Mr. Freeze because my son's a big fan of him, and the little Imagine X figures look really nice. So there you go.
Scott, where does Mr. Freeze rank?
I liked all of them from the TV show.
Keith?
Of the TV show, there were three Mr. Freezes. Who was everybody's favorite? You had Otto Preminger. Come on.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Eli Wallach.
No.
And I always forget the other actor's name. Let me look him up.
Who cares? You said Eli Wallach. Eli Wallach is the coolest of any list.
George Even Sanders. One. George Sanders was the other one.
We don't need no stinking Freeze.
I'm going to leave Mr. Freeze as a B+ on the list because it seems like he has a little momentum here. Victor Zsasz, is he worthy of being considered near the top, in the top 10?
No.
I mean, I love the character, but he's
G probably just, rating?
Pardon me?
R? Yeah. We rate him R?
Z.
We rate it R? Yeah, I'm a fan of him, but how about Poison Ivy? Poison Ivy make a top 10? Or at least
Poison Ivy doesn't get enough love. That Poison Ivy of the pre-Batman Superman adventures of the cartoon was a beautiful character. That episode where she had crafted the whole life for herself with the home and children, and they were all seed people, spoiler alert, was fantastic.
Spoiler alert for a series 25 years old. That's...
Hey, I'm being as honest as I can.
I'm downgrading her because there's way too many versions of Poison Ivy. She's never portrayed the same way twice.
Interesting.
Oh, but Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy was so good. I completely forgot about her. She's the best part of Batman and Robin.
Stiff competition.
I never thought I'd hear the term best part of Batman and Robin.
It was just Batman Forever she was in, but Batman and Robin was the one with Mr. Freeze.
And Poison Ivy. Come on, Mo.
No, wasn't it? Oh, you're right. Yes. Batman Forever was Two-Face and Riddler.
Okay, that's it. Apparently, Mo doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm taking over.
Wait.
Scott has discovered the deep, dark secret of We Talk Comics.
That I turned off Wikipedia. Okay. So everybody else. Brett, do you think we keep Poison Ivy on the list?
I'm not fussed.
Okay, so she's staying on the list.
All right, seriously, I know Scott's our guest and stuff, but I haven't voted the last two
months. He doesn't give anybody a chance. So we're trying to wrap this sucker up. I gotta go to Superstore. I'm supposed to bring beverages for tomorrow at work, and I forgot to grab them.
Poison Ivy is awesome in Little Gotham. She's
okay, awesome. Great. Next question.
Okay. Keith, Carmen Falcone.
I don't know who that is.
Anybody else have an opinion on Carmen Falcone?
I thought you were going to say Carmen Sandiego, and I thought, geez, Mo, you
were totally going to rate Carmen Electra as a Batman.
I will say Falcone family is overrated entirely. I would be in favor of getting rid of that mafia element to replace it with something better. I hate that entire family.
Okay, Lady Shiva, Brett.
No,
Shiva,
I forget it. Probably is.
No. No? She's a no-go?
She was awesome in Death in the Family.
Yeah, I'm a fan, but I don't know if you put her near the top. How about Solomon Grundy?
Hell yes. Although, is he really a Batman villain?
His best story was a Superman story where he and Swamp Thing teamed up. I'm still thinking about Adrian Barbeau, but it was where, at the end of the book, it was a Kurt Swan issue. And Solomon Grundy, there were thousands of them clawing their way out of the sewer. So good.
I love Kurt Swan. Keith, what do you think?
And interesting fact on that one, Superman killed every single one of them. Actually murdered them.
But there must be some way that it doesn't count.
I still don't see to this day how it did, so there you go. There you go, everybody who hated Man of Steel. He was a murderer way before.
Keith, Dr. Simon Hurt.
Now you're just making people up.
That I've never one.
Thank God. I'm not the only one.
40. He's number 40 on the list. I honestly have no idea who that is.
He's like the...
I mean, Falcone, I was joking that I didn't know who it is, but I really don't know who this is.
All right, how about Mad Hatter?
I thought you were going to say Dr. Ruth Westheimer after that last one. Dr. Ruth Westheimer, she a B on the Batman villain rating?
Piers Morgan.
Come on.
Wait, who did you say this time? Mad Hatter? He's like D.
By the way, kind Dr. Simon Hurt, isn't he currently in there? He was one of the Court of the Owls guys, wasn't he? Wasn't he Thomas, real name Thomas Wayne? Current alias Dr. Hurt, Dr. Simon Hurt, ancestor of Bruce Wayne.
Wikipedia is so thorough.
I don't know where you're getting this from. No.
The David Wayne Mad Hatter was
first appearance, Batman 156.
Who are we talking about?
Dr. Simon Hurt.
Okay, I still don't know who that is.
Not even remotely close, no.
Devil worshipping ancestor of Bruce Wayne, named Thomas Wayne, who attempted to summon a demon named Barbatos, but instead was confronted by the Hyperadapter, the hyperdimensional creature tasked by... Oh, fuck it.
That's like so not even close to the Court of Owls.
Let's talk
I don't know, about... but I'm the one who said Court of Owls because I haven't read it. I thought he was. But anyways, he's been around forever.
And let's talk about the David Wayne Mad Hatter from the Batman TV show and how fantastic he was.
So are we saying we're keeping Mad Hatter on the top of the list?
Yeah. Jeff Parker's Mad Hatter from the Batman 66 was awesome. Right. That book is so much fun, and the Mad Hatter's is
Brett Killer Croc. Here's the thing, guys. You got to keep in mind, this isn't where we're going to go in deeply into it. We're going to go deeper in once we've pared it down.
Oh, I'm so excited now.
See, you're saying this will get slower.
That's great.
Killer Croc?
No.
No.
Hate him.
Nobody likes Killer Croc?
I like him. I think he's cool.
I do too. But
seriously, there's never been a good story with Killer Croc. As soon as Killer Croc shows up, you go down into the freaking sewers.
Yeah, but what about that rad one with Eduardo Rizzo and Azzarello, where he was the like 70s street hustler? That was awesome.
That was like
that was good, but I mean, you had so much else going on there. Killer Croc didn't add a whole lot. I mean, the Riddler was better in that series than the Killer Croc character.
Yeah, okay.
Chris was just a big guy who stood in the background.
Chris, I'm sorry, but the Riddler wasn't in that series. Boom!
No, the Riddler sold the bomb thingy.
I think you're thinking of...
He was the arms dealer, man.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
we're talking the post Hush Azzarello Rizzo. Come on.
Sorry, I'm wrong. I'm thinking of something else entirely then.
See, that's okay. I'm taking over.
I'm thinking
so,
of
Scott.
I was thinking of Batman versus Dr. Ruth.
Hush. Anybody, Hush.
No.
No.
Hate him.
No. Love Hush.
The Gotham Knights Hush was pretty awesome.
I love Hush, but whatever. Clayface?
Amalgamated, like all 18 of them combined.
Now let's say Carlo, the original.
No.
I
actually like the original. It is the one area I think the animated series failed at is recreating Clayface. I kind of like a chameleon type character, the Man of the Thousand Faces. I find that more interesting than an all powerful
monster.
Poop monster.
Anarchy.
I love Anarchy.
He's so awesome.
He had the neck extender to put the head above his head because he was a 15-year-old who had to make himself look taller. Awesome.
I love Anarchy too. Anarchy's staying on the list.
I just don't think it's Batman. I mean, he fought Batman like once and then he became Robin.
Yeah. Penguin.
I love Penguin.
Love Penguin's stand on the list, right?
Today, yes. The way they do him now, yes.
Jeremiah Arkham.
He was good in, what was that, Ryan Suk Batman?
Yeah. Suck Up. I thought it was Suck Up. Is it Suk? I don't know. You work in the industry, so you know everybody's name.
No, I'm just making it up as I go.
Me too. Judson Caspian, also known as the Reaper. He was a second Reaper.
No.
No.
I don't know who he is. So
we all hate the Reaper, too.
Brett.
From your
red costume, oh, Reaper. Okay, here's an interesting one. Joe Chill.
Yes.
I will give Joe Chill, the legend of Joe Chill, an A. The actual character, I never want to see.
Okay. Ventriloquist.
Ventriloquist is awesome.
I love the name Ventriloquist. What do you guys think?
He's awesome when he's done right, but he's also the worst character ever when he's done wrong.
True.
No Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. All right, he's getting take off the list. Harley Quinn.
No.
Not in the top 10, but close.
You kind of get how there aren't literally 475 on this list together.
No, there is. No.
Because right now, this is really starting to drag now that we're not talking about anything.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Look at Harley Quinn. So does anybody keep her on the top?
No.
No, she's not making it?
No.
I'm kind of surprised by that one, actually. Two-Face obviously makes it, so we're not even going to bother talking about him. Talia al Ghul, worth consideration?
Talia's awesome. Talia's way better, way cooler than Two-Face.
Untrue.
Uh-oh.
She gets all her...
Two-Face is literally twice as good as her. She's only got the one face.
You used a calculator, Keith. Shut up.
I can do those kinds of numbers in my head.
She gets all her cool from her father. I'm leaving her off.
Ooh, I so disagree. Brett, what do you think? You got to be a tiebreaker here.
No, Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul, because of that, she doesn't. I think both could make it. But okay, she's coming off the list. Man-Bat, Brett?
No.
Man-Bat's got one story.
So, all right. Somebody Professor with a straight Pig. Face say that Man-Bat is one of the top 10 Batman villains of all time.
Sorry, Professor
do it
Pig.
Without giggling.
Keith, Professor Pig.
No.
Okay. Brett. Dr. Hugo Strange.
I love him, but, you know, one or two stories does not a top 10 Batman villain make.
No? Anybody else have an argument for Hugo Strange, or is he off the list?
He's what? On the list, because Hugo Strange is the tits, man.
He is, but... And
you won't get that kind of analysis on Newsarama.
And I'm sorry, Scott, I'm going to have to overrule you. He's the bosoms.
In this case, it's an actual...
He's the puppies.
...actual slang. No, he has a chin beard. And he's bald. Like, that takes balls that you can't even imagine. Like, yeah, I'm bald. I'm growing a beard. I don't give a crap.
And he dressed up in a really ass-crappy Batman costume.
Well, considering he's like 5'6", I think the guy's got guts.
I'm a psychiatrist and I look Amish. You know, you cannot be controlled.
Calendar Man, anybody?
I just wanted to talk about Strange there for a second.
Well, we will, Keith, Chris, because he's going to stay on the list.
Okay.
Awesome. He made it.
He made it.
Hugo Strange.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Deadshot.
I say no, just because, again, I don't think of him as a Batman villain.
Hey, okay. Black Mask.
Yeah.
I love Black Mask, but you think so? Ooh, what do you think,
guys? He's had some great stories from the 90s to now. I think the quality of his stories propels him. So what if he wasn't on the 66 version of the TV series? He's the one character from the modern era that I'd add other than Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul's from the modern era?
I had no idea.
Do you just mean anyone after the TV show?
I really do. Anything after the TV show.
It's considered like, the modern era.
I saw it say like seven.
Hush deserves to be in. Oh, Killer Croc is from the modern era then. He was introduced in like 85.
Still don't. He doesn't deserve to be on the list, so.
Okay. So what are you guys, Scott, Brent, Black Mask? I mean, I love Black Mask, but.
No. I love Black Mask. I love the Brave and the Bold Black Mask, where he spoke through his teeth. Who's the voice actor that did Aquaman? Joe DiMaggio did, or John DiMaggio, whatever, did Black Mask on the cartoon.
Riddler's obviously in there.
Or anything.
Riddler's great.
Yeah. Bane?
Bane's great. Moving on, next one, he's on.
Okay, and obviously so is Scarecrow and Joker. So that is it. We have our list, and now we got to pare this down to a top 10. Which is not going to be easy. Let's see how many have made the final cut. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So six guys have got to go outright. So I think we can include Anarchy among those right now. That as cool as the costume is to look at and inspired by V for Vendetta, obviously, I mean, he's got to go.
Never should have been in the list in the first place.
Fire just completely ripped off.
Yeah.
I think we can pretty quickly get rid of him. Who's a better villain, guys? Discuss Catwoman versus Mr. Freeze.
Catwoman's better.
Yeah, Catwoman is pretty cool.
Catwoman's definitely better. Catwoman.
Catwoman? Okay, Poison Ivy or Mr. Freeze?
I like Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy more than Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze.
Look at my eyes tested. Is it better now or better now?
I like the Imagine Next figure of Mr. Freeze.
So Mr. Freeze is ahead of Poison Ivy or not? What are we coming up? Come up with a consensus, guys.
I have to go with Mr. Freeze. I think we're in consensus on that.
Going with Poison Ivy.
Don't like Poison Ivy. All right. Is Solomon Grundy? Because
I want to make sure that Chris knows what consensus means before.
is Solomon Grundy ahead of Poison Ivy or not?
No. What a Batman.
No? Is Matt Hatter ahead of Solomon Grundy?
Totally. Especially if he's David Wayne, who's awesome.
Yes?
Particularly if he's in a flying hat.
Sure.
Is Matt Hatter ahead of Poison Ivy, guys?
Yes.
Really? I always vote for the child molester, so Mad Hatter.
What? When did that happen?
Wow.
The subtext of every Mad Hatter story is a child molester.
You made that up. There's no subtext to that.
Is Mad Hatter
come on. He's a small guy in a hat that collects children.
That's literally never been told. You're confusing him with somebody.
No.
Toy Man,
totally. But
Mr. Freeze or Mad Hatter then?
Now the Mad Hatter's my favorite character.
Mad Hatter on the TV show had the loveliest malls. Who did he have? Nancy Kovac and then Jean. Oh, I forget her name. Gene Hale. They're beautiful.
All right. Penguin or Solomon Grundy?
Penguin.
Penguin or Poison Ivy?
Penguin.
Yeah.
Penguin or Mr. Freeze?
Penguin.
Penguin or Mad Hatter?
Penguin.
Penguin or Catwoman?
Penguin.
It's a tough one.
I think that's a tough one. What do you guys think? Brett's made his vote.
I'm still partial to Julie Newmar.
Chris, Keith, I think you guys
are... Come on, man. Burgess Meredith, man.
I
still got to say Penguin, just because I no longer think of Catwoman as a villain.
Okay.
Keith, send it up. I'm with Brett.
Okay, Penguin is at the top of the list currently as the number one villain at this point in our rankings. Joe Chill or Solomon Grundy?
Penguin.
Chill.
Chill? Chill or Poison Ivy? Chill. Really? Chill or Mr. Freeze?
I'm the only one voting. Isn't it? I should have just made the list for this.
Mr. Freeze. There. I'll vote.
Mr. Freeze over Joe Chill? Guys?
Mr. Freeze.
No,
Mr.
Chill. Freeze?
Scott?
Sorry, I got off on Adrian Barbeau for a minute.
Joe Chill or Mr. Freeze?
Joe Chill's just some dude. I like Mr. Freeze.
All right. Two-Face. I think we can put him right up to the top.
I don't get the this, Two-Face
wait, one second. Well, Two-Face goes ahead of Mr. Freeze. He goes ahead of Matt Hatter. You'll agree with that, right?
No, I don't, because I don't understand his motivation as a character.
Oh.
Come on, Keith.
Two-Face Keith, defend Two-Face.
Whoa. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. That's my fault.
What's that?
Just a little musical interlude as I was trying to formulate my response. Two-Face is where Batman could have gone. He sees everything black and white, which is Batman's greatest fear, that he will lose that touch that he has with Alfred and the Robins and lose himself in the role of Batman. Two-Face wants to do the right thing, but he's given all of the control of doing the right thing to the flip of the coin.
That's awesome, and, Keith. That was actually beautiful.
Did you cry a little?
No, I didn't. I'm dead to emotion, but that was very lovely.
Two-Face is my favorite Batman film.
Does Chris or Keith, obviously you have him ahead of Penguin.
Two-Face, definitely. Keith, I'm just sort of curious. When did you first fall in love with Two-Face?
The annual in the mid-80s that Pat Broderick did the art on. It was a story about Two-Face, Two-Face's wife.
That was a good story.
Harvey Dent's wife.
Was that the one with Two-Face, Riddler, and somebody else on the cover?
No, that was the Secret Origin. That was also this was like a whole issue of it was Harvey Dent's ex-wife at that point, and just how crappy her life turned out because he went nuts.
Awesome.
Yeah. Broderick was at the peak of his work then, and just doing amazing stuff.
I still vote David Wayne's Mad Hatter, but I really like that.
Could Hugo Strange go above Mr. Freeze or not?
I want to just pop in with it. The thing I was looking up that made the stupid audio music.
We didn't hear it. I didn't hear it.
Okay, only I heard that. Oh, yeah. Great. I'm hearing music.
Yeah. Phantom.
It was an article about Mad Hatter that was saying that in more recent years, there have been hints that the character's a pedophile. So I want to actually call attention to Chris accurately portrayed the way that character's being shown.
To be fair,
Chris knows his pedophilia.
Yeah. Does that change how you rank this character that he now
pedophile? To be fair, Chris kind of accuses every character of that. Like, that guy's a pedophile. Like, Chris, come on. That guy was a pedophile. Come on, Chris. Like,
those now, we pets, all... Chris, come on. Anyone on the podcast here knows I like older women, so...
Yeah, nice disclaimer after the fact, weirdo.
You are so totally going to be down with Ryan Ferrier's Golden Girls book, then.
I probably am, man.
All right, Hugo Strange or Mr. Freeze. Anybody, back on track. Hugo Strange or Mr. Freeze?
I love Hugo Strange. I think he's the most underused Batman villain.
Brett?
I don't know.
Chris?
For me, this one is a tie, but I'm going with Hugo just because he's been around longer than any other Batman villain.
Okay, but that's true. Can Hugo Strange go ahead of Mad Hatter?
I'd put him ahead of Mad Hatter.
Yeah, I would too.
Well, Mad Hatter is ahead of Mr. Freeze, Brett.
All right, fine.
I will say that Hugo Strange, Mad Hatter, and Mr. Freeze is the absolute worst game of Mary Fuck Kill that you can possibly imagine.
Terrible. Again with the language, Keith. Always. Such a potty mouth. Bringing us down.
Let's go Ra's al Ghul against the Penguin.
Raz.
Gotta go with Ra's al Ghul.
Raz.
Ra's al Ghul or Two-Face then?
Raz.
Personally, I'd go with Ra's al Ghul.
Wait. Why are we saying Raz? It should be Ra's. I prefer Ra's al Ghul.
Okay. Let's go. Let's be racial. Let's go Ra's al Ghul. Chris, what do you think?
Don't use that kind of language. That's our word, Scott. You can't.
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. Ghul, without a question.
So he's now at the top of the list, bumping Two-Face. Sorry, Keith. Black Mask, where does he go there? Is he as high as a Hugo Strange? A Mad Hatter?
Higher than Mad Hatter, I think.
I don't even have him on the list.
No? What do you think, Chris, Keith?
I lost track of who we're talking about now.
Black Mask. Would he go ahead of a Hugo Strange? A Mad Hatter? Where does he fit?
No.
No?
But below Mad Hatter.
Okay. Riddler.
We got to spice this up and start like cursing at one another or something.
Riddler.
Riddler is like there's a gap between him and the rest of the list. Riddler's tops.
Riddler, you would put Riddler but ahead of Ra's again, ahead of Al Ghul?
Yes, I'd put him ahead of the Joker as well.
Wow.
Riddler's awesome. Riddler's a great
character. Way too many freaking drugs, man. I don't even get where you're coming from. I can't even think of a good Riddler story.
Frank Gorshin. Anything with Frank Gorshin. Perfect Riddler
story. Totally agree
Frank
with that.
Gorshin. I mean,
remember Frank Gorshin on Buck Rogers was awesome.
Every time Chuck Dixon wrote the Riddler, it was amazing. Because his riddles were really good. Hold on. Wait for it. Do you guys see that?
You got the old year one.
Nice. This is literally my favorite comic book. The
really?
Detective Annual number 8 from 1995.
It was the year that they did the year one stories. They were all.
So we have one vote Riddler, one vote Al Ghul. Racial. Brett?
I'm going to go with Riddler.
Keith?
I probably would have voted this way to begin with, but I know that we're also getting the Scott Snyder has been teasing the ultimate Riddler story coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That is part of the whole buildup of Zero Year is that it's one of his favorite villains. But I think Riddler, I'm going to give it to Riddler. I think that Ra's al Ghul is a bit one note, and he's been playing that one note for 40 years.
You guys are voting for riddles, not the Riddler.
Like so Riddler. Would Bane go ahead of Hugo Strange?
The fudge is the difference.
Language, Keith?
Spice it up.
Like,
come on.
It's like saying that I'm voting for flipping coins instead of voting for Two-Face.
Would Bane go ahead of Hugo Strange, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Bane's super awesome.
Would Bane go ahead of Penguin?
No.
For me, he would.
No.
Bane on the 1960s Batman series sucked. He's so bad on it.
Did somebody do that?
It's one. No. One vote each. Chris?
I've been meaning to draw Bane from the 66 Batman TV show because I know who'd play him.
I'm voting against Bane because I think if he's done wrong, he's so god awful. There's been some great stories, but it's not worth the 20 bad stories I have to read to
That's
get to
good
the good
point.
One.
Scott, why don't you draw the Batman 66
I haven't had the time yet. I don't. Oh, the book.
You'd be
I don't
ideal
know.
For that.
Why don't you draw? You should be drawing that book. Like totally. Every time I read that book, I'm like, this is the book that was made for Scott.
I really appreciate that. I've been trying to get in touch with the editor. I think it's Jim Chadwick, but it's been to no avail so far.
We'll
if they don't let you do the Batman 66, do Metal Man 66. I would buy that book in multiple copies.
Done. We'll make that happen.
Oh, we'll get rid of. We'll get a hold of somebody for you, Brett. What were we doing? Oh, Bane and Penguin. Did you have a vote?
Penguin.
Yeah.
How about Catwoman and Bane then?
Catwoman.
Ooh.
Worst date ever.
Strawberries.
So you got Catwoman. Scott's uncommittal. Bane.
That's a tough one.
I know Chris would put Catwoman ahead.
Actually, I'd go with Bane because.
Oh, really?
Catwoman, I don't think works as a villain anymore. Period. So she's a hero now. Hell, she's a member of the Justice League.
Wow, really? I'm really out of touch. I didn't know that.
That's happened many times.
No, I knew that you were out of touch.
Oh.
And Keith?
I also knew Scott was out of touch. I forgot
what we're talking about.
Bane or Catwoman?
Catwoman. Okay. Though I don't agree with her being on this list to begin with, I'll still put her above.
Above Kane. Okay. Where does the Joker go if we put him up against the Riddler and Ra's al Ghul?
Three-way tie with Two-Face and the Riddler.
Joker beats everybody.
I love the Joker as a character, but the Joker, there's no depth to him.
Yeah, but he's got a Cesar Romero had a mustache,
which was amazing. And I never understood that as a kid. I always looked at it as a kid. It's just like, what is that? Like, Joker doesn't have a mustache. What's that? What's going on there? It wasn't until like 10 years ago I realized, oh, he's got a mustache. There's an actor underneath that makeup.
He refused to shave his mustache.
He's not a real guy.
He just flat out refused to shave his mustache.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, Brett, are you voting Riddler or Joker?
A tie.
And Scott's voting Riddler. Yeah. Chris is voting Joker. Keith, you're the deciding vote.
Wow, this is super intense.
I know we need some. That's why Jeopardy has the music, so that people that you're not just watching. So that when you're watching Jeopardy, it's not just someone staring, thinking really hard. You've got to have.
Here, I've got the music. Okay, now if I play it, is it going to show up?
I have no idea.
No, but try.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Nice.
This will be the thinking music.
Well, let's show it up. That's awesome.
What's kind of funny about that was that was an advertisement. That was not what I intended. What I intended was this. This is our thinking music. Here it comes. Wait for it. Anyway,
I actually think better to the advertisement.
That's
yeah, that's because you just want to sing along to Monster Mash.
Keith, have you decided now that you had all that time to think?
I don't remember the question.
Riddler or Joker?
I do have to go with the Joker.
All right, the Joker has made it to the top.
If the Joker did riddles. It would have been slammed up. So it was.
Be so easy. All right, and Scarecrow, Scarecrow or Two-Face, Scott?
Two-Face. I'm not a big Scarecrow fan.
Anybody else can vote? Can anybody else vote for Two-Face?
I have no memory of Scarecrow ever being mentioned up till now.
I vote for Scarecrow just because he scares the bejesus out of me. Always has.
I actually like Scarecrow.
Ooh, so we have a 2-2 tie. That means I am the deciding vote. Scarecrow or Two-Face? It goes to Two-Face.
How about to the end? Is that coming up?
I'm kind
so
of
we have for... how about Scarecrow or Penguin, guys?
Penguin.
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 Riddler. I'm trying to throw in some extra votes.
And stuff in the okay, ballot. Here it is.
George W. Bush.
I just found some more Al Gore votes.
That's really good.
Here is the official We Talk Comics top 10. We Talk Comics and Scott Kowalczyk top 10 Batman villains. Here is the list, and after we get to the bottom of the list, you guys will make a final thought, do the plugs for the show, and then we'll go out again. Comics that We Talk podcast, or reach us on Twitter. Number 10, Mad Hatter. Number 9, Hugo Strange. Number 8, Bane. Number 7, Catwoman. Number 6, Scarecrow. Number 5, Penguin. Number 4, Two-Face. Number 3, Ra's al Ghul. Number 2, Riddler. And the number 1, as he is on every list, but deservedly so, is the Joker. Brett's final thoughts.
That's actually a pretty good list. That's almost a list that I would have created if we hadn't gone through this mess. So congratulations, everybody.
For going through this mess with us. Yeah. Aren't you happy?
Yeah. That took a long time to get to everybody else's list. Woohoo! All right.
Do we give him some kind of prize?
Oh, Scott, we'll save you for the end because you'll get to plug your shit. Chris, final thoughts?
Great list, Chris_WeTalk. And I'm kind of wondering if there was any dangling Chads on that list, but... Dangling Chads. Al Gore.
Oh. Catwoman.
Al Gore would also make a great Batman villain.
Oh, yeah. Not like George Bush, though.
He's Batman doesn't fight a lot of robots.
Dick Cheney and the Penguin, same guy.
Dick Cheney's actually kind of tall.
All right. Thanks for missing the point, Chris.
You can follow me on Twitter at CubReporterK. I have just completed my 900 Things project. The last blog entry went up.
Once every 3 months.
That's right, whether you need it or not. I got 708 things out the door, and the bulk of the rest are going to go to a little small comic sale here in February. To support the wonderful work that the good people at We Talk podcast do.
Except this episode.
Except, evidence to the contrary.
All right. Again, Comics at We Talk podcast. Look for the new website design coming and I hope everybody likes it. Get a hold of us if you want to be part of the Secret Santa. We're going to go OUT, and Scott Kowalczyk is going to do some plugs before he goes and does his plug to his wife.
Wow. Well, yeah, you're not wrong. I still think that there's an outstanding issue with the Batman villain list, which is the Dr. Ruth Westheimer inclusion.
6.5. She's 6.5.
I don't know. I think she should be a lot higher. Like, I've been looking up masturbation videos by Dr. Ruth Westheimer while we've been talking.
Do you realize she was actually an assassin for the Israeli government before coming over to America and being a sex therapist? True really? Story. Yeah, that's actually a true story.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She was in the Israeli army. And was.
She's a feisty little lady. And I'm going to send you guys a link to her masturbation video. And no, you're I'm not. Hoping that is included on this episode where people can go and hopefully get some help, Chris especially.
I don't need any help masturbating. I'm already I could make my own video. I could give my own instructional video on that.
Please don't.
I'm thinking definition wise, if you get help, it's not actually masturbation.
Semantics, Keith.
Okay, so where are we on the Westheimer?
Scott, first off, like I said, we're going to go OUT. We're done. You're going to get the plugs. We're finished. Keith, shut the front door. We're finished. I'm just going to say, Scott, thank you very much for coming on and classing up the joint. We really appreciate it, and you're never invited back.
Scott, you are the tits. There you go.
I am!
You're the final word. And then I got to get out of here.
So what do I have to say on the final word? I don't know what to talk about.
What are you going to plug?
Oh, sure. I've got The Mysterious Strangers monthly from Oni Press. And I've got big news come February next year, Downset Fight from Oni Press, my long-awaited graphic novel.
Been waiting for it for so long. And I can't wait.
It's amazing. It'll be the best thing you read next year, unless I put out another book, in which case, no promises. But Downset Fight from Oni Press next year, February 12th. Best thing you'll read all year.
I don't know. Riley might have a book next year, man.
Riley will probably have 7 books next year, but none of them are Downset Fight. Sorry, Riley. I love you, Riley Rossmo. But I don't really love. I like him, but love's a little bit of a strong emotion.
Just tell the truth. You and Riley, you're feuding, right?
So much. I ran him over with my car. He threw his walker at me. It was basically just a Beastie Boys video, just him and I fighting back and forth.
All right, Scott, can you officially tell us that we're done now? I've been done for 2 hours.
I guess we're done.
Scott, could you do a Dr. Ruth Westheimer Batman book?
I would love to do that.
Scott, can you do a Dr. Ruth Westheimer imitation saying goodbye?
I literally don't remember what her German... Okay, somebody else do it, because I don't remember.
I bet you if Dr. Ruth Westheimer was, like, super hot in 1966, so she would automatically be a great Batman villain.
Oh, she's still a little ball of fire, that for sure.
All right, folks, we're done, and I really mean it. Stick a fork in it.